Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Eat Local New York podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Tringale, and in this week's episode, my guest is Nick Pascal. Well, I've got Nick back on the podcast today to talk about an initiative called Save New York Wines, and we'll get more into that through the conversation with Nick, but the essential concept of Save New York Wines is to oppose a law that would be voted on and passed in New York State that would allow grocery stores to carry and sell a variety of wines in their stores. And so liquor stores in New York State are severely opposed to this law being passed. And I wanted to have Nick on today to the podcast to come in and talk about it and get his perspective on it, not only as a liquor store owner himself, but as someone I would consider an expert in the retail world of wines and spirits, and get his perspective on what that would do to, you know, independently owned and non-independently owned, but especially independently owned liquor stores here in New York State. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. As you can tell, I'm dealing with some voice issues and getting over a cold. But we also haven't released a new episode in a few weeks, and I'm excited to say the reason for that is that I have been preparing for and packing up the studio, because I'll be moving studios here in the next few weeks. I'll be officially up and running in Eastwood, moving from where I'm at now in the Delavan Center in downtown Syracuse into Eastwood, New York. And something I'm really excited for, moving to a much larger space with a plan of building out, and again, we should be up and running by the end of April at the latest, but with the plan of building out multiple podcast sets and video sets and studios where not only I here for Eat Local New York and for Yummy Socials can begin to put out different content that's in studio, but also where I can hire out the service to people who want to start their own podcast or want to bring their own podcast to more of a professional setting. And so, yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. If you're one of somebody who has a podcast and you're looking for it to be produced in a studio, or you're thinking about starting your own podcast, reach out to me, anthony@eatlocalnewyork.com. And in the coming weeks, we'll have a website up to let everybody know where to go. But we'll also be throwing, sort of an open house party for it. So, you know, if you don't follow on social media, definitely follow us on social media where I'll announce that, but also mention it here in a podcast. So yeah, really looking forward to that. Sad to leave downtown, but excited to get out to a much larger space, be a part of the smaller community of Eastwood, and yeah, just kind of move more in the direction of studio work. So, well, listen, I'm recording this from home because the studio is all messed up. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Nick Pascal from Pascal's Wines and Liquors.
So one of the reasons I want to have you on, Save New York Wines. I think you shared it to your stories.
I did.
I went and followed them. I actually reached out to him. I forget his first name. Matt.
Matt.
Yeah.
Out of Rochester, I believe.
Yeah. Does he own a liquor store?
So I believe Matt is an owner of a liquor store. I'm pretty sure, and I'm not too keen on the details of his background and where this all stemmed from. Pretty sure he's a liquor store owner. He is a liquor store owner in Rochester. I believe he got with a small group of retailers out there, and they put together this small campaign to fight, you know, this battle, wine and grocery store.
Yeah.
He reached out to a few of us locals in Syracuse. I'm actually a board member for the New York State Liquor Store Association.
Okay.
And we deal with lobbyists. We got members from all over the board members from all over the state, store members from all over the state. And we're backing the Save New York fight, joining together to, you know, put forth our best effort as a group to all have, you know, kind of the same message, same slogan, same campaign, if you will, to stop Mr. Wegmans.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going out to, I forget the name of the winery. It's in my email. I'm going out in the next month or two, maybe April, to do a podcast with Matt and this, you know, winery, winemaker out in the Finger Lakes to talk about this, you know, for that as well.
Vice, you know, you don't know.
I have to look
there's,
it up.
There's so many wineries in New York right now.
Yeah.
Which is great.
All right. So, all right, for everybody who doesn't know what's going on, there's two bills that are, you know, currently being discussed.
In the works.
Yeah. And tell us about them.
There's a handful of different things being presented. Right now, the big one for us is wine and grocery store. Many states throughout the country, you can walk into your local grocery store and find a bottle of Chardonnay, Cabernet. Obviously, in New York, you cannot. We cannot sell beer. Grocery stores can't sell wine, and definitely not spirits. So they're pushing to change the laws, the infrastructure of the liquor laws in New York State to allow wine to be sold in grocery. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
They're all big in their own way. The other one we're fighting, well, we're fighting against a lot of them right now. The other one we're fighting against is direct to consumer, which would allow, and this one I get confused on because I know you can go online and buy wine and have it shipped to your store. But I believe this is direct to consumers, more specific where you would go to Buffalo Trace, for example, buffalotrace.com. I don't know if that's a website. Yeah. And have whiskey shipped directly to your store, cutting out the middleman, the retailer, and distribution, cutting out a lot of the infrastructure that we've set up here in New York. Pros and cons to both from, you know, different parties. We'll argue different sides. But we're trying to put a stop to all of the above. Wine and grocery would be devastating to the small mom-and-pop retailer like myself. And that's giving the power to the big corporations of Danny Wegmans, of Target, Walmart, where they would then come into our market and, you know, the convenience of going to Wegmans and getting your Kendall Jackson there as well. We see a lot of problems with that. So we are fighting very strongly. The New York State Liquor Store Association, we're on board. We have some lobbyists talking to politicians, getting as much involvement from local liquor stores, all on the same page. And this is a, this has been a battle. You know, this year is going to be a battle, but this has been, this isn't new per se. This is something we've been fighting for many years. I believe it got brought into before COVID, maybe 5 to 10 years ago. I don't know the exact year. It was a little bit before my time, where it was really looking like it was going to happen. We fought it. Thousands of people showed up in Albany on lobby day to, you know, protest, and we clearly have, you know, won. So we're hoping for the same type of success this time around. Right now, knock on wood, it's looking good.
Okay.
But it's not a time to sit back and relax, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you, do you know the timeline of, like, how everything is supposed to progress and when it's possibly going to go for a vote?
So right now, I believe the governor, she announced her budget for the year a few weeks ago. Wine and grocery was not in it, luckily, which is the first step.
Yeah.
But it could be brought, you know, up to contention at any time, really. So we're, it's just something we're trying to stay ahead of the curve on and really fight for. This really got brought to light end of last year, where we all realized, like, wait a second, this is going to be a thing again.
Yeah.
Let's get all on board. You know, we hired a marketing firm. Let's see what we can do to, you know, stop this before they really get the momentum going. And so far, so good.
That's great.
So,
yeah, I was doing some research on it and like reading about Colorado. And, you know, Colorado passed this and, you know, liquor stores around the state have been talking, have been saying that they're severely hurting because of it.
So we actually have good colleagues friends of ours, liquor store owners in Colorado. And as expected, I mean, first Colorado took a hit when they legalized marijuana. Mm-hmm. Liquor stores took a hit. And then you throw, which we're in the process of also dealing with.
Yeah.
And then wine and grocery in Colorado just got approved. Liquor stores that I'm one of the most successful liquor stores right outside of Denver, they're down 30-40%.
Wow.
Minimum, right off the jump.
Hmm.
And that's year one. Hmm. You know, you expect that to grow.
Yeah.
Not in their favor. So there's a lot of fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, right now. They're arguing, which with Pamela Hunter, actually, Syracuse. Politician is the one that first presented this bill. They're pushing for wine and grocery as it will be convenient to the shopper. She happens to be a Democrat who's supposed to be on our side, yeah. So I thought. But clearly pushing for the big corporations is what it sounds like. We see a lot of problems with the bill.
Yeah.
Wine and grocery opens up quite a few different cans of worms in regards to you come into our shop, you know, you said you're meeting with a local Finger Lakes winery. The wine and grocery is going to very much so negatively impact the distribution of local New York State wines.
Mm-hmm.
I reference the Wegmans out in DeWitt. You know, I have a shop a few miles from there. Distributor sales reps, they're not allowed to go into that Wegmans and present new items. Mm-hmm. It's a corporation. It's done in an office, not on premise, which I'm not quite sure the legalities, but
yeah.
There's no small wineries going in there presenting their, you know,
right.
their small run of, you know, 2,000 cases to this Wegmans. They're not mm-hmm. taking the small producers of the Finger Lakes. So one huge thing that will negatively impact the state as a whole, you know, disregard our business,
mm-hmm.
but the New York State wineries will hurt. Yes, it might be more convenient for the shopper to go in and get their name brand Josh or Kendall Jackson or Barefoot, but their selection is going to be minimized. From right now, New York State actually is one of the states that offers the most amount of diversity and selection in regards to walking into a store and the amount of SKUs that we have. You put wine and grocery and that will change dress. You're not going to go into Wegmans and find this kind of, you know, it's the smaller producers.
Yeah.
The more esoteric items, some of the more interesting things. You're going to see the Barefoots and the Woodbridges, but you're not going to get the selection that we're accustomed to. Wine and grocery, you know, that reference at Wegmans again, there's six off the top of my head without really even thinking, six liquor stores within 2 miles.
Yeah.
You know, the politicians are arguing that, you know, wine and grocery, it's going to bring more revenue to the state. It's going to bring more jobs. It's going to do the exact opposite of that, in my opinion. Wegmans, they're not going to bring on a whole new team of wine experts, if you will. They'll add another, maybe, you know, a few more staff members. But out of those six stores within a 2 mile radius, four of them are going to go out of business.
Yeah.
They bring in two, you know, taking a step back, you just minimize jobs in the area. Minimize jobs, minimize selection, and we're hurting the Finger Lakes, you know, what we're known for in the wine world.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think of like, you know, there's like famously here in Syracuse, a local brand like Postabilities, you know, they have their hot tomato oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Wegmans. It's selling wonderfully. And Wegmans famously decides to rip it off, you know, make the exact same product. It's the Wegmans brand now. And by the way, theirs is a larger portion and it's, you know, 30% less expensive on the shelf right next to hot tomato oil.
They're known for their private labels, in Liquor City, and their liquor store. That's not Wegmans, but
it's
Wegmans owned. They have privately. They'll do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where I hear some people complaining about Wegmans, the grocery store. Now you walk in, where's Heinz ketchup?
Right.
Do they even have it on the bottom shelf, tucked away behind, you know, their private label brand?
Yeah.
They'll do the same thing in the wine industry. They already do.
Hmm.
But they will do it on a much larger scale.
Right.
So that's another, you know, one of our big arguments is a lack of choices. You know, it might be more convenient, but they're not going to have the same shopping experience they would at a store like ours, where, you know, hopefully you come into ours and you feel like you get a knowledgeable staff member who can walk and talk you through a few different options, a few things you may or may not have. Some things you're not going to see on the shelf in every liquor store in town. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
And some of the problems we find with, you know, this bill. To me, and this is something that's not talked about a lot in our groups and some of the associations I'm a part of. For you've been in the restaurant industry, you know about liquor licensing to a degree, I'm sure. You know, we've had these, you know, pretty black and white laws for many years in regards to, you know, I opened a store with my wife 3 years ago where it's a process. You go through, you know, it's a 100-page application. Where's the closest liquor store? Where's the closest school, the church, so forth? If there's a store within a certain amount of distance from us, they don't approve that liquor license, which makes sense. We're already oversaturated as is. There's a liquor store in every corner in New York State.
Right.
In that same store, in that plaza, there is a Target and a Tops. Not only are they going to, you know, are they going to just throw away these liquor laws that we've been, through the application process that we've been following for however many years and approve a liquor license, not only within a certain amount of, but in the same plaza? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just pulling, what is it, pulling the rug out from under us.
Right.
So if there's a lot of, if you really dig deep, there's a lot of issues with the bill that would jeopardize one, our livelihood and business, but also just the way things have been working.
Yeah.
And, you know, if what's to say, you know, if it's not broken,
right,
why fix it?
Yeah. This is probably, I know this is a dumb question, but what's the percentage? Is half your store is wine, you know, half of it's
great question.
Liquor.
That's honestly a question a lot of the politicians are asking. It used to be a much higher percentage wine to liquor. Gets my uncle going sometimes. My generation, our generation, as we're growing and being the consumers, wine is not as important as it used to be. Our wine sales are still topping our liquor sales. It's just that gap has become smaller.
Yeah.
I'd say it's 55 wine, 45% spirits.
Yeah.
Spirits are growing right now, but that's still half our business, more than half our business.
Sure.
And we can't compete with the buying power of Target or Walmart or Wegmans.
Yeah.
There's some limitations to the bill they're introducing where the store must have a certain percentage be dedicated towards grocery stores. So like, would Target qualify? Possibly. They do sell, you know, grocery store items. So we'll see. You know, there's, who knows?
Yeah.
They have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Money talks.
As I was like reading through, I was on the New York State website, the Assembly website and or Senate's website, and going through. It's amazing what I'd learned just going through their website for like 2 hours. And going through, because I noticed like the four senators that were backing it were all Democrats, and I was like, how is this a Democrat Republican? Right, yeah. And then just trying to figure out, like, all right, what part of the state are they from, and going through the list and everything like that. But I was curious, and I don't know, I am gonna dig into it, because I think that whether or not this does wind up becoming, you know, sort of a real issue, if it's been defeated in the past. And, you know, when you think of like the culinary aspect, the culinary, you know, landscape of New York State, like really the one thing that pops up is, besides, you know, fine dining in New York City, is wine and the Finger Lakes, right? You know, I mean, that's kind of our food and beverage identity. And so who knows the likelihood that something like this gets approved. But I am really curious, like, who are the, I mean, obviously we can pretty much take an accurate guess, but I wonder who the financial backers of it are.
I mean, the direct to consumer, there's been Amazon. There was a blurb from them leaked, I think last year, that they were secretly pushing for this. You know, if you can order Jack Daniels off of Amazon, you might as well just close all liquor stores in New York State, because there's no competing with that type of convenience.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wegmans, they have to be behind. They're secretly, they have, our lobbyists can dig into where a lot of the donations are coming from. They have names not associated with the Wegmans brand that I'm sure they use.
Yeah.
It's been brought to my attention just recently that they may or may not be taking a step back. I don't know if there's any truth to this. I don't think there is, but it just made me think a little bit. If they are pushing for, you know, Wegmans pushing for wine and grocery, that's great. They'll definitely get an uptick in their wine sales. But will that invite other grocery stores into our area? Does that mean Publix or Winn-Dixie or, you know, I don't know. In Kentucky, there's the one we always
Kroger.
Go to. Kroger.
Yeah.
You know, would that invite them into New York State and actually hurt Wegmans?
Yeah.
In the big scheme of things, they'd lose more on groceries than they would in on their gain on wine in that scenario. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I feel like that's a good argument to be made for Wegmans, where maybe it's not something they really should be or wanting to push for. But
yeah. Yeah, because I don't know if it's Kentucky or Ohio, which state it is. Because, like, you know, being from that area, they're, you know, 5 minutes apart, right? Mm-hmm. And but one of them, I mean, you can go into a Rite Aid and buy bottles of wine, you know, or whatever else they're selling.
So I'm glad you brought that up. That's an argument some of the politicians are making right now. Well, you know, 40 of the other states sell wine and grocery. Well, some states they use the death penalty. Some states don't allow gay people to get married. You know, that's a horrible comparison,
right?
In my opinion,
yeah.
there's a lot of things other states do that we don't agree. Just because they do them doesn't mean it's right or that's the correct way. So we hear that argument, but to me, that's a silly angle to take, because there are. So many other things that other states do that, you know, us as New Yorkers don't agree with.
Yeah.
Is convenience, it's a controlled substance, alcohol. Is making alcohol more accessible better for our community?
Right.
I mean, you put wine in Wegmans, I'm just using Wegmans as the example, theft.
The key word is allegedly, by the way.
Allegedly.
You can say whatever you want, just say allegedly.
Allegedly. Edit in a few allegedlys for me, reversing up a little bit. You know, theft is a thing. Are minors going to be able to walk into how big are these grocery stores?
Yeah.
You know, theft will be more rampant. You know, who knows? But that's a concern. Obviously, we're trained to ID and verify age at our stores. You know, is that something that's going to be as prominent in a huge grocery store or you know, like a Target or, you know, who knows?
Right.
But those are all concerns that, you know, we've been bringing up and bringing to light, saying, you know, wine and grocery, yes, the convenience is great, but is buying wine not convenient right now?
Yeah.
Because there is a... And I live 10 minutes from here. I pass 5 liquor stores on my way home.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's convenient. And if I don't feel like stopping, I can get it delivered through the many different angles and avenues we have to deliver with proper age verification and so forth. So I don't like the angle of convenience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... Yeah, you're going to see a lot more. You're going to see a lot larger cheap wine in these grocery stores, not to mention just the private label stuff. And, you know, like you were saying, I mean, looking at the, you know, it's been, what, a year and a half now since Colorado's had it. Because that article I read was from, I think, 2023, May of last year.
It's not going well.
Right. And, you know, talking about their, you know, all these liquor stores are, so I think, you know, we have our crystal ball that we can kind of look at with that. So, I mean, from a consumer standpoint though, I mean, I agree with you. It's not hard to buy liquor or wine right now in any number of ways from any of the plenty of liquor stores that exist just here in Syracuse and Central New York. But then also the Drizzly app. I think you can get it on Instacart, right?
You can get it anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah. So the convenience factor really isn't the issue that they're all facing.
Which is the angle they're taking. You know, there was a small poll of, I love when they say, you know, we've done a lot of research. There's been a poll. Mm-hmm. 2,000 people were polled. Like, yeah, that's a great sample size. You know, that's not even my senior class.
Right.
It is. But you know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I don't get it, mm-hmm. especially coming from the Democratic Party. That why are we fighting for these billion dollar companies to mm-hmm. gain more when you are putting the mom and pop, you know, our stores, I'm third generation right now. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty consistent with a lot of the stores in this area. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Peter's earlier, John, I think his father started the store before we were around. Hmm. You're putting stores like that in jeopardy of going out of business. Mm-hmm. For what? For the success to Danny Wegmans?
Right.
I don't want to say he's doing good enough because, you know, every businessman wants mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. But they're doing just fine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they don't need arguably, they don't need the increased revenue. You know, I was talking to somebody about it today I think it was this morning or yesterday, because we were talking about the podcast and guests, and I was like, yeah, Nick's coming back on to talk about this thing. And you know, and their response was like, well, that'd be great. That sounds awesome. You know, like Wegmans has, you know, they have really jumped into craft beer over the past couple mm-hmm. of years, and they have a strong craft beer selection. And I think that is true to a certain extent. You know, working with craft breweries here in Syracuse, they love it when they can get their beer on the shelf there, because it mm-hmm. makes it so much more accessible for them.
If they
can get their beer on the shelf there. But the challenge is, and the only one that I know of that's been able to successfully do it without distribution was Heritage Hill. But with your distributor might fall off. Like I was talking to Tim from Buried Acorn. And just everybody who's listening at home, Buried Acorn, that means you have to take a drink. That's a little fun game we play here. If I mention Buried Acorn, you have to take a drink. And hopefully Tim's distributor isn't listening to this podcast. They failed to keep him in stock in, I think it was Costco. And so they sold out of Hot Whip on the shelf. And now it's like impossible to get Hot Whip back in, because through their automated system, it's now gone. And so in order to get back in there, it's like starting back all over from scratch. So even for independent winemakers, if Wegmans, if this gets passed, Wegmans starts selling wine all of a sudden, and you do get those for an independent winery, first of all, maybe you're forced to go through distribution. Second of all, then you have to maintain that relationship. And everybody most people know.
You get the small wineries in New York being forced to distribution. There goes their margins.
Right.
They close down too.
Yeah.
They don't want to go through distribution.
Yeah.
They don't have they're not doing the volume to make that profitable is mm-hmm. my, you know, I'm making assumptions here.
Yeah.
But they're small and they're family run and they're tight knit and they only produce however much wine they do, and they can't afford to get lost in the shuffle of an Empire or Southern, and that's why they self-distribute. And we work with a lot of these small wineries who self-distribute, and they're fearing what will happen, you know, if this gets approved. On top of that, the large distributors are they're not necessarily gung-ho about this either. Mm-hmm. You know, I see 6 sales reps from Southern alone, you know, and they're constantly showing me new items, presenting new ideas, and, you know, working the floor and merchandising. And they're not going to have that ability to do that in these grocery stores.
Right.
The beer distributors, who also we buy spirits and wine from as well, they're starting to dabble and, you know, expand. Very much so.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for them, but against this, it's going to take up their beer space.
Mm.
They're against it for a different reason, but they're against it. You know, they're not going to allow 10 sales reps from one company to come in and present anything because the people in the store aren't making those decisions anyways.
Right.
So it would change the face of what wine and liquor in New York State is quite a bit. Yeah. More so than we imagine, I think.
I've got two questions. Do you know what your breakdown is for like New York State or small wineries versus like the large mass produced ones?
So we have a whole section in our store dedicated to local wine and spirits. There's a few brands that really do well. We're selling a few cases a week of, but then those smaller brands, we carry them. We talk about them. We advertise them. Are we selling, a few cases a month? No, but we're giving our consumers the option to, I refer to Weis, Weis is a small winery. I get all my lakes mixed up. Not Cayuga. Cayuga, maybe. Okay. Don't quote me on that. I've been.
Allegedly.
I've been twice. I don't know what lake it's on. He's German descent. His family's still in Germany on their winery there.
Yeah.
He's been making wine here in the Finger Lakes. I think he worked at Dr. K. Frank for however many years. He's doing incredible stuff. His wine is phenomenal. Hmm. I mean, this is high-quality wine. An hour away from us, being produced in European techniques. We're lucky to carry his wine. Are we selling a ton of it? No. But when customers come in and we hand, it's something we hand sell. We tell them the story and show them the wine, taste them on the wine. They're buying it. They're coming back for more. And that's just one small winery I'm referring to. But a lot of our New York State wine section is like that. And we're in our way, putting our foot forward to put the Finger Lakes on the map.
Yeah.
Wagner Winery, which is a little bit bigger for the Finger Lakes Winery, was had a great write-up by Kathy McNeil, the author of the Wine Bible. She was talking about that their dry Riesling is one of the, better Rieslings she's tasted in a long time. Is that her name? I can't believe it. I have her book, signed book at home. I've read it twice. So we're starting to get some recognition throughout the country, throughout the world. And it's because of these small wineries with these great stories and their background of winemaking. A lot of them aren't necessarily from New York, but have come to take advantage of our terroir and our climate, which you don't hear that too often. People come into New York because of our lovely climate. but it's producing some killer wines.
Yeah.
Yes, we do make some not so great wines, but some of the wines that are done well are done in excellent. And you can put them up against any of the best wines in the world. And, we're in that conversation. And a lot of it's through stores like ours where we're putting those wines in consumers' hands and telling them the stories and tasting them on what these wines really can be. I don't want to say without us, does that happen? But I don't see that happening in grocery stores.
Yeah. So how do you, one thing, I mean, there's some stores, especially I think there's some stores that I know of that took advantage. What's the one up in, is it Lake Placid or Watertown? I think you're friends with them, and they've got like a big TikTok account.
Terry Robards.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
He's the man. Crushes it.
So there are some liquor stores that I feel like have taken advantage of, modern times when it comes to like building brand or something like that. And
TikTok, man.
But TikTok really.
I can't do it, but that's the avenue.
But TikTok really, I don't know if it still is, though. Because
I don't know.
TikTok.
I hope not, because I don't do it, but.
Who was it that just. One of the massive music labels, just record labels, just pulled all of their library from TikTok.
Really?
You can't, it's like in like millions of songs now are unavailable to use on TikTok. And now there's like creators like Noah Kahn, who's this massive, recording artist who blew up through TikTok and now was just at the Grant. Like life has completely changed. His music is now unavailable on the platform that brought him up.
That brought him up. That's interesting.
So having said that, you know, I don't really see, unless it's like an independent bourbon collector or like, you know, I forget the dude's name, Bruzel or whatever the hell his name is on YouTube. Like there's bourbon hunters and bourbon people who have like a huge presence online. But you don't really see too many liquor stores who have like, who are like really focused on trying to build that long-term brand through social content. So having said that, I mean, are there plans that you have thought that you can start to put in place as one of the larger liquor store owners in Syracuse? If this gets passed, like
what's our angle of attack?
Yeah. What's your new plan?
Good call. Good question. What's our good plan?
So the Pascal's app?
Throw up the white flag, man. Surrender.
Is that what it is?
How do you compete with these multi-billion-dollar companies?
Just lower your prices, Nick.
We might as well shut our doors. I mean, the margins on. I mean, sure, we would figure out some type of plan of attack. Discontinue half of our wines right off the jump. Just because the volume to sustain the selection we carry won't be there.
Yeah.
Slash our prices because the big corporations are going to undercut us. Mm-hmm. What do we do is we cross our fingers and pray. I joke, but how do you compete with a Danny Wegmans?
Yeah.
You know, we're 10,000 square feet.
Yeah.
You know, and wines, a lot of what we do, spirits, you know, hopefully spirits would sustain our business. What we seriously would do is cut staff, cut products, try to, you know, trim the fat, which sucks to say and hear, but I mean, and the reality is we'd have to cut some of our overhead. Mm-hmm. However, we do that. Push, you know, we'd have to get creative in regards to, you know, whether it be a wine club, hosting seminars or tastings. I know there's a few stores I follow in the Albany region that are constantly doing educational stuff and, you know, dive in on some more of the different angles in terms of promoting wine.
Yeah.
That would help. Is that going to move the needle to account for 40% of the sales we lost? Probably not. But will it help, or will it make our shopping experience at Pascal's Liquors different?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. That's the $1 million question.
Yeah.
Which I don't have the answer to right now. I hope I don't need to find that answer anytime soon.
Yeah.
I have two young girls at home. I don't know.
Yeah.
I go work for them.
Revamp.
I don't know.
Yeah. You get a revamp between two barrels.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it was, I know you're pressed for time. And so, but I do want to ask you this one last question. So like I would put in Syracuse, I would say like Pascal's is on the cutting edge of as much as, you know, you are in terms of like, you know, marketing and also staying relevant in like the bourbon space, you know, or even just, you know, the liquor store space, right? I don't really know of anybody else that's doing any, like, sure, there's the other big, you know, old school liquor stores in town, but they're not doing anything really interesting that I noticed or anything different. And then there's the ones that you never hear from that charge $80 for a bottle of Buffalo Trace, you know? So, with that being said, my question is, how come, like, well, do you follow, you obviously know Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V? Oh, you don't know who Gary V is? Come on.
Do I? I'm really.
Gary V, like the big multi, you know, entrepreneur, like big social media guy. Gary Vaynerchuk. You got to fucking know Gary. Hold on, I'm pulling this up.
I'm bad with the memes. Instagram?
He's like a massive celebrity.
Massive celebrity, yeah, definitely don't know him. Does he sell bourbon?
Gary Vaynerchuk, wine guy. He had Empathy Wines. This guy right there.
Nobody owes you shit, Gary V.
You don't know Gary? Okay, no. So that's why you haven't done it. All right, so I need to.
That's why.
You.
Well, okay. Well, he's 10 million followers. Maybe it's worth a follow.
So his story is
was he selling wine?
Well,
that's why I don't follow him. Yeah. He's undercutting.
He's based out of famously his family are Russian immigrants. And his father owned a liquor store in New Jersey. And I think it's winetext.com, maybe. And anyways, he started, so the between, yeah, WineText. So this company you should follow on Instagram. So that's his dad's liquor store in New Jersey still.
Okay.
Gary V started the Between Two Barrels. Who's, let me, you know, can go in deep dive. Whose idea was it for Between Two Barrels, for that format?
I don't know, man. That was so long ago. We partnered
with Chris, yeah.
It's a little combination. I think he was doing some side work for us, and between me, my brother-in-law, Peter, and Chris, we kind of just thought of the idea, hey, let's film some back and forth.
Yeah.
Throw a little comedy in there. Hopefully we can hit some notes on education and see if we can draw a crowd.
So that's how, so Gary started, so he was like working in his dad's liquor store is a story. When he was like young, you know, stocking shelves, and he was like 15 and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this is back in like early, late 90s, early 2000s.
It's like a good account.
Started to get into digital marketing.
Yeah.
And Google, like one of the first people to ever buy, you know, wine, like the search, the key term, like keyword wine on Google AdWords. Mm-hmm. And just started going off, one of the first people on social media to really in that right. space to go after it. And so he had the wine, get wine with Gary or whatever the fuck it was called. But he would just sit at a table in a back room, try different bottles of wine in each episode, talk about them.
Brilliant.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so my question for you is, I'm surprised that you guys haven't done more of that stuff.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I know.
That's simply
yeah,
it. Like,
yeah.
That's, right. that's, yeah. I would love to, you know, my dad's always badgering me. You know, you're doing great in the whiskey world and tequila. And we're, you know, we're really putting forth our efforts in the spirits, but what about wine? I love wine. I grew up, I don't say I grew up drinking wine, but I grew right. up around wine. Wine was my first love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty well educated in the wine world. Yeah. Consumers like you and me aren't, especially in Syracuse, and not to downplay Syracuse, but we're not very advanced in the wine, which is honestly the perfect opportunity to step in and you know, put forth effort in the wine world. It's on my to-do list for 2024. I've been saying for this past 2 months, you know, I'm already getting my staff tasting, we're talking about wine again. I got a little cloudy in the spirits world the past few years. And I lost sight of wine, which really is our bread and butter.
Yeah.
So that is a big focus for 2020. Disregard the wine and grocery.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Right, yeah.
Unrelated.
Yeah.
But wine is going to be a big focus for 2024. Education, tasting, learning, you know... The knowledge of what there is to learn about wine is endless.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I've been studying wine for however many years, and I still know this much compared to others.
Yeah. The thing I love about coming into Pascal's, especially for whether it's bourbon or tequilas or rum or really anything, is that I feel like just about everybody that's working in there knows something about something. You know, like, you know, I forget the kid's name with the red hair.
Damien. My guy.
Damien's great.
Crushes it, man.
I don't know how I know him, but from before.
He's worked in every restaurant around town.
That must be it. Every time I go in, he's like.
I can't keep track of where he's worked or what restaurants he's opened or helped with this or helped with that, but yes.
Every time I'm in there, and then like I was in there like a couple weeks ago looking at the rums in the corner, and he was like, oh, you know, what are you? And I mentioned something, and he knew about it. You know, and it was like, this feels like the bottle that was shoved in the corner, and he knew about that rum. So that's one of the things. And then obviously you're always sharing on your stories, especially talking about, which I don't hear anybody else really talking about it except for massive creators, the world of tequila and additive-free tequilas and, you know, what's really good tequilas versus really bad tequilas. So I feel like you're on that, you know, you already check all those boxes with that kind
100%.
Of stuff.
100%. My folks growing up in around the restaurant, you know, we had the restaurant in the 80s and 90s. Their main objective then was educate, teach You know, what can we do to share our wealth of knowledge in regards to food and beverage, you know? And I kind of grew up with that mindset. Yes, you want to, and you know, and that's one way to enhance the consumer's experience is educate them on what they're eating, what they're drinking, you know, not necessarily how to do it. I say this all the time. You eat, drink, whatever the hell you want, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
But to enhance your enjoyment, possibly try it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Try it with this, or let me tell you a little bit about what you're consuming. I feel like there's been such a focus, I don't know about you, but in food, in terms of where are these ingredients coming from? A transparency with, you know, my wife in particular, she's all about real foods and, you know, staying away from the processed stuff. And that kind of got me diving in a little bit about, you know, I'm focusing on what I'm eating in terms of not, you know, people come in sometimes, I use this example a lot. You know, I drank this bottle of wine. I feel like shit, you know, that night. I said, well, you go home, you eat a box of Twinkies. How are you going to feel? You're not going to feel good. It's not food. It's processed shit. You don't even read the ingredients. Can you read any of these words? And the ingredient? No. And I'm like, unfortunately, there's not that same transparency in wine, but what you're drinking is not just grapes.
That's wild.
So that's been a focus of mine for many years. The question is, where and when do you dive in and share that knowledge with customers? Because some people don't care.
No, for sure.
Which is fine, so be it. But if you do, I think that's one thing our store offers that other store, you know, we like, I don't want to say we like alcohol. I mean, yeah, I like alcohol. I like learning about it. I like tasting it. Tasting's different than drinking.
For sure.
I like educating myself and sharing what I learn with others. And in the store, working the floor, there's other people who I can spike up a conversation with, and I can tell they're interested in learning. And other people, not so much. So I just show them where their wine is and let them be on their way. But I find that's the best avenue to share what we've learned. And hopefully that enhances the consumer's experience. It builds their faith and trust in us, and hopefully they'll come back then, which is one of the, you know, another main reason we, you know, have focus on that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, I don't want to take up any more of your time. Thank you so much for coming back on. I'm going to be talking, I think I'm going to be, like, I'll talk to you off air, but I definitely want to, and, you know, spending the last week kind of diving into this, you know, Save New York Wines movement and, you know, the bills and, you know, who, all that kind of stuff. I think we're going to, I'm going to put a decent amount of attention into like making videos and trying to connect with Finger Lakes wineries and interviewing. Actually, I need to get your contact information for the liquor store in Colorado.
Yep.
Cause I want to get him on like a remote podcast and just talk about, hey, what's the last year and a half been like, and kind of putting attention to it. Cause what's the likelihood, who knows, but you know, when you've got companies that have as much money as the companies that are advocating in favor of it have, you never know what the hell's going to happen. So.
It's the fight of the mom and pop versus the big corporations.
Yeah.
And hopefully the locals here can, you know, have some sympathy with what's going on and see the big picture and, you know, stay true and loyal to us serving the area, the community for as many years as we have. We're in the actually, I just talked with our head of marketing today at the store. He's reworking our website right now to make the Save New York prominent and available for anyone and everyone to it's name, email, zip code, send.
Yeah.
Sends an email to four or five different politicians voicing your opinion that you are standing with the local liquor stores of New York and are against wine and grocery. So if yourself included. I don't know if I already forwarded you the link.
I don't think so.
Takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
We would appreciate anyone and everyone's time and effort to help us fight the fight of stopping big corporations and keeping the mom and pop stores alive and well in New York.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Everybody out there and buy your wine and spirits at Pascal's.
Please do. Thank you so much.
Thanks.